Good evening. I apologize. Good evening. The time is now 5 o'clock and the Warwick Finance Committee is open. May I have a motion for the minutes for the May 2nd meeting 2022?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. Item number one is bid 2022-272, the sale of the former John Wicks building, school building, property plat 347, lot 476. Is anyone here from the administration to speak on that? So what we'll do is we'll give them an opportunity to get here. We'll just table that for right now, and we will move on to the next bid. Bid 2022-389, Buckeye Brook Restoration Project. Mr. Vicente, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. I got some allergies. So if I cough a lot, it's allergies. Okay, tonight I'm asking for favorable action on bid 2022-389, Buckeye Brook Restoration, in the amount of $2,029,480. This is being awarded to Cardi Corporation of Warwick. Sorry, I gotta take this off. We went out to bid. We had 8 contractors at a mandatory pre-bid, 6 bidding firms, 3 submitted bids. The lowest was Cardi Corporation. The highest was Sumco at $2,369,100. As you know, this project has been going on for a long time. There are many groups that are interested in it, getting this taken care of. This is on state-owned land that is managed by Rhode Island Airport Corporation. The city has been proactive in attempting to remedy a situation that has occurred. I'm not sure how it occurred, but there is a blockage of the draining of Warwick Pond into Buckeye Brook. The Community Development Office hired EA Engineering to conduct a study. The study was conducted and determined that there was a blockage of Phragmites. The plan was put forth to remove that blockage, submitted to DEM many years ago, requested an alteration of freshwater wetlands permit. Permit was granted in late 2019. We went out to bid in 2020 during COVID. Bids came in too high. We've been looking at alternatives for disposal and excavation techniques since that time. We were awarded at the 11th hour a Rhode Island DEM grant of $1 million. And we were able to reauthorize and reprogram $194,500 from a different pot of Buckeye Brook to this project. We are also using federal CDBG disaster recovery funds that were awarded the city in 2010 in the amount of $955,000. There are no city tax dollars going to this. This is 100% grant funded, including the match. We're using the CDBG disaster recovery funds as a match to the $1,194,500. So, like I said, there are no city general fund dollars going to this. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Director. And I'd like to go on by saying thank you for the presentation, but also thanking for your diligence. Obviously, in 2017, when I first came on the council, it was that winter into spring that we had excessive rains, and I was getting numerous phone calls from citizens whose properties from the Warwick Ponds rising, whose properties were being reduced, if you will, because of the rising water. From there, we went from obviously changes of administrations. There was a road being flooded. This is what kind of really drawn the attention. There was a road being flooded, so that when cars were going through the water, the road was so underwater, their water was going in through the grills of their cars. And there were of the families that had to live at the end of Lakeshore Drive that would go to work every day and then have to drive through that puddle again. And there was, as you know, many, many, many obstacles to go through. You correctly in the city obtained a consulting firm to say the best way to remediate it. I know last year, one of the big issues that we came into was suddenly the bid came in about $700,000 more than anticipated because what to do with the Phragmites once it's gotten. And then, of course, for every aggressive plant, and I'm saying this because I want the council, my colleagues on the council, to please understand. If you remember back in 2017, those I served on in 2017, when I made a plea to the city and the administration at that time and to my colleagues on the council to please assist and do something, reach out to the state leaders because something had to be done. We ended up raising the road a little, but of course, as we know, that did not alleviate the issue about Warwick Pond. This will alleviate the issue. This project is meant to eliminate and get rid of the Phragmites within that area to free up, to allow free streaming of Buckeye Brook. I will say, and I will reiterate what you said, it is state property. However, and two major things, it's state property that is affecting city property owners. So I want to commend not only the departments involved of the city that address this, but I want to commend also the administration, the administration as well as my colleagues here on the council that allowed this to move forward. I am very excited about this project finally getting done. And I want to ensure the citizens here that are here for that, that I have every intention on moving favorable action on this as it affects Ward 4, Ward 3, but the entire city, but especially the citizens in the Lakeshore area of Ward 3.
We raised, we elevated Lakeshore Drive, that portion.
I'm sorry, say again.
We elevated Lakeshore Drive in the portion that was flooding 12 inches already.
Yes.
We can't go any higher.
You can't go any higher of that road,
right?
People won't
be able to get into the driveways.
Okay, so this is the only option.
This is it.
Okay, gotcha. Are there any questions from members of the committee on this vital project in Ward 3? You have one? Oh, sorry, Councilman Gephardt.
Thanks, Director. And thank you for providing extra information today.
Sure.
I appreciate that. The first thing that I just wanted to talk through, so you provided the report that was put together by EA, I think back in 2018, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then was there additional scoping work done between then and now?
So the DEM permit, the alteration of freshwater wetland, was issued based on the study that was performed in 2018. And in that permit, there were a lot of restrictions on the control of water, how you, because of the fish passage, the alewives and the buckies. What we have done is we've gone back to DEM and asked for a modification of their restriction on the control of water to put a bypass pipe in so the fish will be able to freely flow through the pipe versus the contractor coming in, putting in a dam every morning and every night taking it out. So there's been no new hydrological studies. It hasn't gotten any better. We're estimating there's 5,390 tons of material we're going to be taking out of there. And we've looked, as the councilman said, we've looked at using it as landfill cover in private landfills. We've looked at digesters with that manufacture methane. We've looked at bringing it to compost facilities.
And if I may add on that, I know that we were in discussion with Representative Ella Wilkinson about, we actually had goat farmers come in and look at ways of disposing it.
Right.
Just some way that we could fix this and address it. Thank you, right. Bill.
The issue with the goats is that goats go to the bathroom and they're going to pollute what's going down. So, so there has been no new hydrological studies since that report was done.
Okay, great. And then in that document you provided, that original report from EA, in Appendix E, they talk about that essentially their analysis covers phase one and phase two, which is basically what we're looking at here, in terms of using the herbicide to kill the Phragmites and then to remove,
right,
the material and dispose of it, which will get us obviously a significant way towards progress. But then there's of course risk that it continue, that the Phragmites continue to grow. And so there's an ongoing, right, maintenance effort. So I know you answered the question for me, but just in terms of thinking about how that gets addressed, are we going to write that into the budget? Is this going to be something we do on an ad hoc basis? So a couple of questions on that. The two that I just asked, along with who would be responsible for the management and oversight of the continual maintenance plan?
So from what I've understood from around DEM, who gave us the $1 million grant, they're currently working on a maintenance plan, and they're addressing, or they're going to be speaking to the stakeholders. I know they've talked to Mike Zaram already from Bucky Brook Coalition. I'm not sure if they've reached out to Phil Durkle or not from Friends of Wog Ponds. It is state land. It's controlled by RIAC. As far as I know, there is no budget for maintenance. Part of the thought is that when there's a free flow of water coming from Wog Pond through the original stream channel of Bucky Brook, it will prevent the Phragmites from taking root. What happened was there was an introduction of sediment into the area. And because of that, Phragmites grew. And they just kept growing and the roots got stronger and stronger. Phragmites are an invasive species. They will grow anywhere. I saw a guy leaving the compost facility with some dirt in the back of his truck. He had a huge crop of Phragmites in the back of it. He wanted to plant them in his grass, I guess. I don't know. His grass is going to be full of frag. To answer your question, there is no maintenance plan right now, but we're hopeful to be able to get the parties together. And if, when the watershed plan that is being developed by DEM is complete, both Bucky Brook Coalition and Friends of Willow Ponds, in theory, should be able to apply for grants and be able to help with the maintenance. And the state should be able to handle some of it as well.
Okay, got it. So just to restate, so in your opinion, the city kind of leadership on this project is essentially phase one and phase two, and then from there we would...
Yeah, we'll continue to work with the parties and try to get and coordinate with DEM and the state DOT and RIAC, because RIAC has some infrastructure in that area as well. So it would benefit them. The problem we have is that this area is a bog. There's no solid ground to stand on. You have to build solid ground to get to it. So maintenance is a problem. So you have to also have it permitted. So by allowing both the conservation groups, Friends of Willow Ponds and Bucky Brook Coalition, act as a grantee, they can apply for those grants. And they can do it independent of a government body sponsor. So as long as they have state approval.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think I'm good there. Thank you.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to offer my support for this project, but I really do want to highlight Councilman Howe, Chairman Howe's work on this, along with Mr. Vicente and the administration. I know this has been a project that you guys have been working on for a number of years now, working with our partners, the community groups that are invested in this area and in our environment. So I just want to commend everyone working together. I know it hasn't been a straight path. It hasn't been easy, but you guys have been nonstop with the goal in mind to addressing this critical issue to our environment. So I just wanted to compliment my colleague on the council for his leadership on this. I know he has spoken to me about this hundreds of times over the last 5 years. So I'm glad to see it moving forward, and it will have my support this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Questions from members of the council. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. I also share all those accolades for everyone's hard work on this. Yours, of course, very much involved in this bill, but also like to recognize the folks from Friends of Warwick Pond and Bucky Brook Coalition, who have also been extremely dedicated, you know, to getting this project completed. Bucky Brook does come through Ward 5 as well. And I was fortunate that when the Tidewater Bridge was being removed and reconstructed, I had numerous constituents, particularly down in the Riverview Terrace area, reach out and ask if that bridge could be raised up for kayaking and to, you know, make it more accessible for people to pass through, which was a great idea. And we also were able to run the sewer lines through that bridge and save my constituents, if I remember the number correctly, somewhere around $700,000 or $800,000 by extending that sewer line through there. So a great, great effort, a very important effort. We all know how invasive these Phragmites and other species can be, so I'm absolutely going to be supporting this. But I do have a couple of questions, Bill.
Sure.
Is there a copay involved in this from the city?
There's the $1 million grant has a 66% match, which is $660,000. The $194,500 has a one-for-one match. So the total match required is $854,000, $854,500. That money is coming from Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Fund. So again, there's no city general fund tax dollars at this time going to this project.
Good.
It's 100% federal and state funded.
And I'm assuming that it was your office that was able to get those grants all pushed through?
Yeah, it was a combination of community development and public works engineering and the dogged efforts of Phil Durkle from Friends of Warwick Ponds.
Sure, sure. I know.
The emails.
I know. I've had countless conversations with representatives from both of those groups. They've been very, very diligent in this and very committed to it. With respect to the position paper, it speaks to hazardous waste.
Right.
If there's hazardous waste that is discovered throughout that entire length that we're going to be working on, that is also going to be covered by APRA funds, is that correct?
That's what I was told and spoke to in the letter, the memo. We have it built into the price from the contractor on the three stages of excavated material: clean, contaminated, and hazardous. Hazardous obviously being the worst. Round Resource Recovery will take the clean material and they'll take contaminated material. They will not take hazardous. When it gets to the hazardous level, it's $525 a ton versus $132. They have to ship it somewhere. So they're going to put on a train and bring it to Alabama. So what we have done is, because we're not allowed to sample pre-excavation because of certain requirements and restrictions that the state has put on us, we are having the contractor excavate a certain amount of material. I think it's 1,890 cubic yards of material, and then that they have to shut down all operation. We test it, we get the results, we dispose of it accordingly. If that material comes back as hazardous, we're going to cover that excavated material, and then the project might shut down. And we also have it based on the backside as well at the end. So we're going to be testing it as we're excavating it. It's just we can't test it prior to because of the restriction that we've had placed on us.
So when you say if there's hazardous material discovered, it'll be shut down.
There'll be no more excavating going.
Until what time? It's not permanently shut down.
Till we have $525 a ton. We don't have that in our budget for to excavate hazardous materials. If you multiply $525 times 5,390, that's $2.5 million, rough math, just to dispose of the material.
Well, what I'm looking at here is, this is a memorandum from the purchasing agent dated May 3rd, 2022. And in the very, very last line of the last paragraph, it said, the city has calculated scenarios that include disposable of hazardous material and will utilize ARPA funds on a contingency basis.
We do. We did it on the beginning.
Right.
If we first excavate the 1,890 cubic yards, 1,980 cubic yards, if we excavate that amount and it comes back as hazardous, we can't keep excavating at $525 a ton.
Okay.
And if we excavate three quarters or halfway through and we come to hazardous material, we calculated that as well.
Okay.
So it's just there's obviously going to be budget shortfalls, and then we're going to have to discuss how we're going to make that up.
All right. I'm glad that we clarified that, because I just my question or curiosity was, is this like continuing throughout, and it obviously is not.
Right.
So assuming things go well, we don't have hazardous waste problems, or at least beyond what's currently funded, is there a sunset clause or a date certain when this project needs to be completed?
Yeah, there's a few of them. So the alteration of freshwater wetlands permit kicks in, allows in-water work end of July to the end of October. No work prior and after. The contractor has to go in and spray the Phragmite with herbicide, but after it flowers, so it gets into the root system and it dies. And then they can then start excavating it out. So the first sunset is probably August 1st, end of July to October 31st. The other one is with the grant. We have to have incurred the expense in the $1 million grant, just the $1 million portion, by September 30th. We don't have to pay it out, we just have to incur the expense. And we have a table that we've done internally that would cover that cost. So those two that we have.
So now that begs a couple of other questions. Does the contractor, in your opinion, have adequate staff, equipment, resources to meet that drop dead date?
We met with the contractor informally prior to tonight, and they have assured us that they have the staff, they will get the equipment. So other than what they have said, I have no way of knowing if they can or can't.
Sure. And you said, there's certain thing, it needs to be started by a certain day, or construction needs to be started. So as long as a shovel is in the ground on that September day, you've started.
Well, the expense of, we have to have incurred those expenses. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The process is, we're not 100% sure when the Phragmite, it's nature. Phragmite will bloom early, late, and they can't spray it until it blooms. So if it blooms end of July, beginning of August, they can spray. If it blooms middle of August, they can spray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what we're waiting for now is the frag to bloom.
My last question is, does this work involve all of Bucky Brook?
No.
Where does it stop on Bucky Brook?
So I wish I had a picture, but if you're looking at the end of the runway extension, closest to Warwick Pond, there's a, between that and the Cedar Swamp pumping station, there's a blockage. That's the area. It's 100% contained on Rhode Island Airport Corporation leased land.
Okay.
So this is not going any further than that one where the permit allows.
So that'll be for another day. The remainder of Bucky Brook.
Another day.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you. I was a member of the Bucky Brook Coalition for many years until I got too busy, but it's still very dear to my heart, the whole Bucky Brook. And I know it's a lot bigger than most people think. So I'm very excited to be supporting this tonight. And I want to thank you again, Bill, because the grants mean so much. And I think that's important for the public to realize that it's not city funds, but yet we're getting something major done with that piece of property, that area. So thank you for your staff. And I know Warwick Pond and Bucky Brook people have always kept hammering it, and I don't blame them because that's how you get things done. So I'm very proud to be able to support this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Ricks.
Earlier, when Councilman Lattiser was inquiring, I believe that you used the phrase that there's no plan to use city dollars at this time. So I wanted to make sure to give you an opportunity to clarify that. Would there be any plans to use city dollars if there were any cost overruns or the like?
So from what I mentioned, we're going to use the three grants that we have, and then we're going to try to use the APRA funds that the city has. If we've already awarded the contract and all the APRA funds are gone, then we would have to use city resources. We'd have to pay the contract. But the goal is to not incur any city general fund dollars.
When you say that we would have to.
We have to dispose of the excavated hazardous material. We can't let it sit there. So it has to be disposed of. We have to pay the contractor or someone to dispose of it.
Would we then seek reimbursement from the state or other property owner?
You can try. I'm not an attorney. Talk to the city solicitor about that. We've been after the state to put money into this for years. And DEM is the first state agency that's come forward and given us the grant.
Through the chair, I don't know if there's any representative of the administration or city solicitor who may be here who would be able to address that.
I would have no problem, but Councilman Ricks, please let me be as clear as I can. On this floor, I and Councilman Councilman McElroy have been seeking assistance in getting this remediated since you and I raised our right hand back in January of 2017. For the last 6 years, I have been reaching out with Ms. Facenti, with three administrations, with Councilman McElroy, with state representatives, pleading with Save Warwick Ponds, pleading for people to step up while citizens lost their yards. I am not looking, I want questions answered, but these are questions that have been 6 years waiting, 6 years pleading for help. The concern right now is Mr. Facenti got grants of $2 million to remediate this issue. And by putting a stone on it, trying to anticipate 2 years down the road, when we are trying to remediate a situation that has been in the work for 6 years, and quite honestly and very plainly, not a lot of voices, not a lot of people called me up and said, let me help, let me be a part of the solution. So through the chair, absolutely. But I want to make that statement clear to you that, you know, now you want to call down administration to question this. 6 years I've been waiting for someone to stand with me to find out where the funding is. The funding has been found. The funding is here. This problem can be remediated. So if you still have that request, that's fine.
I do, and if I may clarify, I am not questioning the $2.1 million, more or less, in grant funding that has been obtained. I understand the work that has gone into that. I'm not going to go into some of the issues with, or I won't delve too deeply into some of these issues involving the city doing work on property that it doesn't own, and then potentially triggering all sorts of liabilities that it might have to pay out of pocket for that isn't being covered by a grant. That's not how I'm going to be basing my vote this evening, although I think that those are legitimate concerns. But looking at this in the context of some other issues and how some similar issues are being handled by the city, I would like to get this sort of statement on record, because there are similar land use issues that the city should be dealing with. I'm not going to say that the city is dealing with the land use issues in the same way that the city is dealing with this particular land use issue.
So, Councilman, to redirect, so this is on this bid. You're concerned about other issues being, this being handled with other issues. So I'm going to redirect us back on this bid. This bid is for the amount to remediate Bucky Brook, and it's been cleared by all the departments that are involved. So I would ask you to redirect your focus on the current bid and plans, not what you anticipate the future to hold.
Oh, certainly. And this is a matter of context here, because if hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars are spent on one item, then the same exact amount of money is not able to be spent on a different item. And so here, I want to be direct as to the city's practice. And if the city administration can simply state for the record that if there are cost overruns, then the city does intend to pursue getting that reimbursement, or in whatever form, having the property owner, the state, pay for the cost overruns, for if something goes wrong on state land, then that would be to my satisfaction.
Those were the questions that we've been trying to get answers to, or those are the issues that we have been trying in the partnerships since 2017. And I want to thank the administration of Ms. Vicente for finding a solution to give some relief and remediation to the residents. But what you've just said is what we've been doing for the last 6 years.
I agree, and that's why I think it's especially important that it just be on the record, on the microphone.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Members of the council, any comments or questions on this bid from members of the public? So, Mr. Dierkel, I'll save you the introduction. Mr. Phil Dierkel from Friends of Warwick Ponds. I want to say, Councilman Lattiser kind of stole a little bit of the thunder. That's okay. Your diligence in keeping this going and keeping this on the forefront is much appreciated.
Thank you. These people behind me.
Thank you.
Not me, but thank you. Just want to make a couple of comments before I start speaking. You know, is the state responsible for this? Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But now, 7 years later, we're going to go after the state. to see if we can remediate this. I don't think that's a sound decision to make right now. So I think we all have to get on board the same page that we have the money now for this project, and it should be remediated for the rest of the city, for your constituents. And it's the right thing to do. And no matter what Mr. Walsh says, again, I'm going to start with, I am the facilitator for Friends of Warwick Ponds, committee members, council members, and council president. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this issue. We sent out an email on December 24th, 2015, to the DPW and DEM that the water was rising in Warwick Pond, causing property and public road flooding. It is now 6 years and 5 months later, and we are before the City Council seeking approval of the Bucky Brook Restoration Project. We will keep our focus on the future and thank the group who worked on this project, with a special thank you to Bill Facenti for his constant and prompt information sharing, and Sue Keenan from Rhode Island DEM, who came through with the additional funding for this project. Thank you. Friends of Warwick Ponds, as well as the Warwick residents who live on Warwick Pond and Bucky Brook, respectfully request that 2022-389 Bucky Brook Restoration Project and 2018-251 Consulting Services Bucky Brook Permitting Remedial Action receive favorable actions from this committee and move to the main council meeting at 7 p.m. for full council approval. Please, we've waited long enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, please identify your name.
Hi, I'm Bill Aldrich, William P. Aldrich, Secretary of the and Treasurer of the Bucky Brook Coalition. I'm not speaking on behalf of my behalf, I'm losing sound. Is this directional, going straight in? Michael Zaram's in the hospital, and he can't be here tonight. Hopefully, he'll be out of the hospital shortly. But he does have some concerns. And
if you don't mind, so you made a statement that wasn't picked up. You're going to be speaking on behalf of the Bucky Brook Foundation?
Yes, I'm speaking on behalf of Michael Zaram, the president of the Bucky Brook Coalition. So I'm
Thank
speaking
you.
On behalf of the coalition. I'm the secretary and treasurer, but I'm more back office work than substantive work. We have concerns. Everybody agrees we want to get rid of the Phragmites. That's not the issue, I think. But we do have concerns about what's proposed tonight. And they are, I can mention four things, I think, very succinctly. Number one is what's proposed is not a full plan for handling the problem, but probably the first step in handling it. And our concern is that once that's done, after a few years, we're going to be right back where we started from if we don't take additional steps. And I heard it mentioned that the Bucky Brook Coalition and Friends of Warwick Ponds could get grants. We have done one grant in the area down by where West Shore Road crosses the brook. And we knew at the time that was going to have follow-up stuff. There have been some complications with doing that. But there always needs to be a follow-up. And if there isn't, we're going to be right back having spent the money where we are right now. So that's the first concern. The second concern, and I won't comment on us working, getting grants, the Bucky Brook Coalition, because I'm not qualified to do that. If Michael Zaram was here, I'm sure you would have a comment. The second thing is, once the city of Warwick undertakes this, in a sense, the city of Warwick probably owns it. And there was an allusion earlier to what would happen, the project could be shut down if heavy metals were discovered or whatever in the material that's taken up. If that does happen, DEM will monitor the project. They could put in, I'm not saying they would or would happen, but they could put in a cease and desist order, in which case the contract is sitting there not doing anything and the city's got to pay them for the time. I don't know how much they'd have to pay them, but there's a liability potentially there. The final thing is, it's our belief, and it could be argued otherwise, that it's the responsibility of the state to clean it up. We have, Bucky Brook Coalition has maintained that that is our position. Whether that would actually happen, I don't know. I heard it voiced earlier that the state should be the person, that they are the owners of the property. They should be cleaning it up. Our position, I think, has been consistent for about a decade, that the best course of action is for the city of Warwick to tell the state, this is your property, you should be cleaning this up, and if you don't clean it up, we're going to take you to court and force you to do so. And that basically is the position that we have had for a long time. And I think those are the points that I want to make. You have any questions, I can attempt to field them.
Thank you so much for your time, and I think we're all set. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify in the microphone.
Hello. Good evening, Michelle Comar. And I'm going to come from some broad out issues, not environmental like I usually testify, and they're practical issues because I've been going to a lot of meetings in the city and have learned by the experience of other projects what could happen if you don't have a really tight contract. So the broad picture is this. They have a elevated water surface problem in Warwick Pond that floods private property. Needs to be fixed, needs to be solved. Can't argue that. But I've also had conversations with Phil. Are you guys barking up the wrong tree? You're doing a Phragmites restoration project to pull a plug to let the water supposedly flow. How much increase of water do you feel is enough to give relief to these property owners? He's not sure. He has a seawall, well, a pond wall, if you want to call it. I don't know what his other neighbors are experiencing, but the engineering report, which was ordered by DEM under a consent agreement, says that for the observed elevation of the water on the day they went out, which was back in 2017, if they unplugged the clog of Phragmites, the water surface elevation would drop a foot. Is a foot cost effective for $2 million, whatever, dollars? Do we gain enough for the buck to help these people out? I've asked the question of engineering before when they were here. Is this going to be achievable? Is this going to work? The answer was, it should. For $2 million, I want more assurance than it should. And the $2 million is only a start, as Bill Aldrich mentioned. Phragmites comes back. So there's a maintenance problem that, do we have the money in the budget for maintenance? Do we have money in the budget for hazardous waste contamination? Is that in the bid? And I'm going to come back to that one because that's a big one, because that will be a big expense. So why I've been around the block, WSA. WSA tried to put sewers in Strawberry Field Road, stopped. Why? Because they encountered groundwater contamination, soil, groundwater. They stopped the project. I don't think they ever started it again. They were looking to point the finger to somebody else to pay the expenses of starting that project, paying a contractor under a signed contract, and they wanted Lasona to pay for it. Well, Lasona just kind of laughed at it. You got to be kidding me. So who paid for that? The Warwick property owners, who are ratepayers to the WSA. Another project, not a tight contract. I think a lot of council people remember this. The levee around the WSA treatment plant. They were going to raise it because we had that flood in 2010 of the 500-year flood. Well, apparently they didn't know that when they were going to banged the sheeting in to make the levee taller, that they weren't going to encounter all these boulders and rock. It wasn't feasible. Everybody here, I remember council people asking, who's paying for this? Oops. And WSA said they had to pay for it because the contract didn't point liability and accountability in the right direction, which was the contractor. Now, in all due fairness, if you limit a contractor to only doing so much testing and it's in your contract, then they cover the bases. So I just want to make sure here that the contract is solid. And can somebody answer the question, has there been hazardous waste contamination sampling of the soils? Because that's a whole different expense in itself, and it will stop the project, and we're going to have to deal with disposal treatment of those soils. Is that in this contract?
This before you answer, this got full DEM approval and DEM grants? Okay, thank you.
So there is no pre-testing allowed?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
There's no pre-testing allowed. So we're testing, we're excavating, storing, and testing the excavated material. We're sampling the excavated material, disposing of it as required. DEM, the state will not allow us to pre-test.
I, having done DEM permits for many years as a wetland scientist, I think you can apply for a permit to do exploratory work. Some of it is exempt from permitting. Did the city actually apply to DEM under an application to do this testing? Because taxpayers are on the hook for extra costs here that we don't have.
The wetland alteration for wetlands, freshwater wetlands permit is in the state of Rhode Island's name. They're the applicant. So we are not an applicant. We did not. We asked the state, the owner of the property, if we could test, and they told us no.
Well, that's a big loophole there. We don't have tests. We're not the applicant. Better yet, argument that the state take over this project. Let the state do the testing. Let the state pay for and manage and oversee, because they have the personnel. They have a whole staff of construction people there to oversee the project. Let them pay for the future maintenance costs. We got taxpayers on the hook here. I'm very concerned about liability and accountability. And is this contract such that if we don't achieve that 1 foot drop or whatever these nice people expect, I think they're expecting more than a foot for $2 million. I would, but that's all we're gonna get. Now, there was a DEM report, nice picture in it, had Warwick Lake, and it showed all 60 stormwater outfalls pouring into Warwick Lake. Those could be sources of additional flow where something in the watershed, in a roadway or in land, changed and dumps more water into Warwick Lake. We also have a stream coming off of airport property. I just don't have these answers, never had these answers. Did anyone do an investigation, engineering study of the outfalls? We all pointed to the Phragmites clog because some canoeists couldn't get up there. The fish can go, but some canoeists were impeded from their travels. We need a lot more assurances and study and answers before $2 million plus in future maintenance and hazardous waste contamination unknown. WSA knows now they should have tested that or had someone test that groundwater before they started Strawberry Fields. They now know they should have done more borings to test when they did the levee work. Let's not go down the same road of errors that cost the public, the citizens of Warwick, taxpayers additional money. It's only a foot that we gain for $2 million. These people will tell you they need more than a foot. And like I said, are we barking up the wrong tree for the solution? They need a solution. But nothing's been done, and they are impatient and eager to get something done. But let's not do a test study on the backs of Warwick taxpayers. Let's get more assurance. So going to that contract, is the council comfortable that if this project doesn't achieve that 1 foot lowering of the water, and that's under normal, non-storm conditions, what are we going to do? Who's at fault? The designer, EA Engineering, the contractor, Cardi? Who's at fault?
I, once again, you're going deep into the woods on a project that has been spoke of for 6 years. When we finally have an opportunity to remediate the issue, now these are coming up. I've heard comments, we should put the state on the hook. We've done the ask, we've done the sit downs, we've done all of that. I will say this, with my job to know a little about a lot and the people to know a lot about a little, it is come to us with DEM approval, with CBC grants, with a packet put together to get this remediated, to give the remediation to the neighbors, what you would say is a foot for $2 million. That foot will go a long way considering that 3 inches is what's averaging in the yards that spreads out over time. That's a big decrease. These people have been waiting a long time. We've had the engineers, URI has gone to that location and done their studies with the student, I'm gonna say oceanic, but the student, the biologists and all that, they've gone there and done that. Everyone has, this has been 6 years in the making. So with that presentation that Mr. Facente did and with us ready to move forward, I'm very comfortable in moving forward because like anything, there are a lot of unknowns, but the known right now is that there are neighbors being flooded out of their properties.
Yeah, I agree.
And we have
to
address that.
I agree with you.
And if I may also just respectfully ask you to consider the time for the other people.
Yes, I will. And these aren't new issues brought to light. We've been asking the same questions. Like I said, my answer I received from engineering was, it should work. Should isn't strong enough for me. So I'd like you to really consider, I don't want history to repeat itself, that the taxpayers are on the hook, the contractor goes free, because we didn't do hazardous waste testing, which you could do a separate application for, or get the state as the owner to do. I think we need a lot more upfront work before we say yes to a contract. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Philip Dirkle, Sr., facilitator for Friends of Warwick Ponds. I feel compelled now to respond to these comments that have been made by the Bucky Brook Coalition and by Michelle. Everything they said is correct. We can't dispute any of those issues. But 6 years and 5 months, we're going to go after the state of Rhode Island to ask them to pay for this project. 6 years and 5 months later, we're going to go out and sample Bucky Brook to see if there's contaminants in that brook now before we remove the Phragmites. What other alternative do we have? Can someone tell, can the Bucky Brook Coalition tell me what the alternative is? I mean, is there another alternative? Please tell me.
Well, the...
Here's one right there. Tell me what the alternative is.
Mr. D'Urkel and Councilman Ricks, please. I understand the frustration and I'm working what I can, doing what I can, but we're discussing the bid at hand, not alternatives. Okay. I just need to bring us back. This is something that I am advocating with you for.
Okay.
So instead, let's focus on the bid at hand, not alternatives, not possibilities. And we can move on and I can recommend favorable action.
Again, what's on the table right now? That the project to remediate the situation that we have at Warwick Pond, that's in front of you, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we have $2 million, a lot of it in grants. And I believe, as my neighbors believe, we should proceed with this project.
Thank you. Any further comments, questions? Councilman Ricks?
As I mentioned earlier, I would have no issue voting in favor of this so long as we could have assurances that it would cost only the $2,029,480 that's in the contract amount. And for that matter, As long as above that, we have assurances from the city administration that if we do run into cost overruns here, the city administration is committed to going after the state, the property owner, that is, to be able to finish the project and not have to commit a blank check for city funds that we might not be able to get additional grant monies for, then that's enough for me. So if a representative of the administration can just say that, yes, if there are additional cost overruns that are not covered by this $2,029,480 in grants, then the city is going to seek to get that kind of reimbursement from the property owner, the state, then that satisfies my concern. I'm not looking for a promise that we are, in fact, going to necessarily recover that money, but I want to make sure that the city is not just committing to taking on an undefined amount that's in addition without at least committing to trying to get that money back if it comes to that.
Councilman Ricks, the amount that we are voting on tonight is the bid amount of $2,029,480. Thank you. Bid 2022-272, sale of former John Wick School Building and property plat 347, lot 476. Mr. Kravitz, good evening.
Good evening. So I'm just here to tell you that I did review the bids that were opened at the last meeting, and I would recommend that you go with the high bidder, Link Commercial Properties, LLC, an amount of $2,100,000, and allow us to engage them in a purchase and sales agreement at this point.
Thank you so much. Questions for members of the committee? Questions, comments? Council President McAllister.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Sorry. Can you hear me? Thank you very much. I just want to say that this is a good project. I mean, $2 million for this school. I think we were all pleased when those bids came in. There was a wide range. You know, this is a school that housed a lot of Ward 7, Ward 6 students. We're glad to see it's going to be repurposed, and it has my support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the council, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Let's see. From looking at the bid package, it looks very simple, straightforward. $2.1 million revenue per the amount as bid, as opened at the Public Properties Land Use and Community Affairs Committee when it was held a couple of weeks ago. I see the recommendation memo that's two paragraphs. And so my question based on this is, as it says that it is the recommendation to authorize the administration to execute a purchase and sales agreement with the highest bidder, Link Commercial Properties, LLC, at an amount of $2.1 million in advance of a fee simple interest warranty deed conveyance of the property to said highest bidder. Are there any conditions on that, such as any zoning changes, any, say, demolition of the building, or is it just straight up $2.1 million and the rest of the details are going to be handled after?
Correct. We're going to start with $2.1 million. There is no zoning application or any kind of land development application. The whole point of it doing it this way is we wanted to convey the property first and not tie it to anything else. I thought that was important from a just important to hand, important way to handle it.
I really appreciate that. I think that it is actually a very refreshing approach compared to what had been taken by the city in the past, which tended to tie things up a bit. I take it that this is also to the satisfaction of the buyer?
Yes.
Yeah, and I can certainly understand how in some different situations the buyer may want to have conditions when it comes to zoning or the like, but in this case, the city and the buyer are both satisfied with these terms?
Yeah, as of right now, and as we go through the PNS process, if something comes up, we'll definitely deal with it through that process.
Well, once the city has its check, then the land is theirs.
Right.
All right. Well, that answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Latisore.